Thank you for your ministry to each other this week and your ministry before the Lord Jesus Christ and by his power. And as we prepare our hearts for communion this morning, I'd ask you to turn your Bibles back to the very passage that we read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and remind you that this also is a matter of authority. Our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John chapter 1, verse 3, spoke, and things that were not came into existence. According to Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, by that same authority, he holds all things together. As we went through the book of Luke a few years ago, we reviewed the fact that he could command demons to come out. He could command waters to stand back. He could command things to become what they were not. He could command the dead to walk out of tombs. He could do all this because he was God and he had authority to do so. He could command men who were fishermen and tax collectors to now be disciples and follow him on a daily basis. But the Lord also, and to this very day, commands that the church does certain things. And that sometimes that in this current age, that kind of rubs us wrong. People are allowed to suggest, recommend, but nobody is allowed to tell us what we have to do. But the Lord commanded the church to observe certain things, and he added to that things like baptism and to go out with the Great Commission and to observe communion, the Lord's Supper, until he comes. I think that communion should be very meaningful for us and growing in significance to us. You ever stop and think about how strange these symbols and this whole act must be to the unsaved, to take this bread that's not something you would probably typically buy and ingest, but that we break this and we pass this around? The significance of the juice and the contents of that cup and what it's supposed to symbolize and the blood and the bloody death of our substitute. Those things are very offensive to the lost. The Corinthians, as we learned, had turned the communion into something that was offensive. At least it was to God. And with their cliques and their personality cults and their divisions between the haves and the have-nots, they even carried into the Lord's Supper, instead of something that unified them, something that was divisive, and it was detestable to God. One of the things that the church today must always be on guard, and by that I don't mean the building, but the people in it, we must always be vigilant, lest coming to the Lord's Supper be something as perfunctory or automatic or seen as an optional activity. Rather, whenever you're told that next week or this Sunday night or next Sunday morning we will be observing the Lord's Supper, the disciple of Jesus Christ should make it such a priority that they do everything in their power to be in attendance and have their heart properly prepared. We don't know really how often that the early church met or how often they participated in the Lord's Supper, but we know that whenever they did partake of it, they were impacted by it. And that was to be expected. Now, as Paul writes to the Corinthians in this section of correction, he makes it very clear that there's been abuse. They're still going through the motions, but they have forgotten the significance. They've removed the center and put something else there. Once again, we don't know exactly, or are we in control of how the lost would see what we are about to do in a little bit when we partake of communion. It's not within our power to control how they think, but we make sure that we know what we ought to know, that certain things remain very precious to us, that we remain very tender towards the Lord and look forward to His return. And so communion does aid us in our forward progression in the Christian faith, in our perseverance. It aids us in our testimony. It helps us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. There are so many distractions. There are so many thoughts that enter the head. And some of them are downright disgusting and sinful. And some of them are certainly not productive. But for the Christian, we seek Jesus. And we want a clear picture of Him and a growth in Him. And so communion is one of those things that helps to focus us and connect us in as we look forward to the return of the Lord. Three things here that are I would like to see in these few verses as we prepare our hearts for communion, that the Apostle Paul seems to feel like this act of communion helps us to look back and look forward and also to look at the present. So first of all, number one, we look back on this meaningful memorial. There's a backward look about it. The Lord Himself set up this memorial. The Lord Himself commanded the observance of it. And Israelites, Jews, were not altogether unfamiliar with memorials, were they? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 12, he says, "Be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt." And then a couple verses later, he says, "Fear the Lord." They were commanded not to forget God. And I'm sure that there were times they would think, how would we ever forget what God just did? How would we ever forget the majesty and the greatness and the faithfulness of God? And they could still go through the motions of bringing sacrifices, and yet their heart was far removed from Him. In Joshua chapter 4 was that great account how the waters were peeled back by the hand of the Almighty, and they walked forward on dry ground and crossed over. And as they, after they did, they were commanded to take these, each of the different tribes, to take a stone and to put it on their shoulder and take it across and make a memorial. I believe Joshua, it says, builds a memorial in the middle of the river. And something like that was to have a personal connection where people that would look back and say, we walked through, we saw what God did. It was also a great teaching opportunity where you could tell your own family, this is the place where God did the following, and we should never forget. But it should also testify to the lost. This is what the only true God did, and this stands as a memorial to His power. But we all face, point A, the danger of forgetting. The danger of forgetting. Let me tell you a story that used to be funny to me. Now, I don't know. I'll tell you about Ed and Fred, okay? One of these fellas, as they bumped into each other, and Ed told Fred, "You remember how I used to have a really problem with my memory?" And Fred said, "Oh, yeah, do I remember?" You know, we all used to joke a little bit at your expense. And Ed said, "Well, I went to a memory seminar and learned some techniques, and I no longer have a problem with my memory." Fred said, "That is amazing. What is the name of that seminar?" He said, "My wife was there with me. What is that flower that has that long stem? It's red and it's got thorns. A rose? Yeah. Hey, Rose, what was the name of that seminar?" Obviously, it didn't work. Okay. But we all feel like there are things that little minutia, little trivia that we say, you know what, means absolutely nothing, and I can't get it out of my head. I can tell you who won the World Series in 1946. So what? Okay. But you know what? When it comes to trying to memorize God's word, why is it such a struggle? Why do I not start off the day thanking God and praising Him, remembering Him? I need these aids. I need the work of the Holy Spirit. And communion is one of those things that collectively helps us focus our attention on Him. We set alarms to get our attention. You have an appointment with a doctor, or you're getting together with somebody in the church, and you say, you know what, let me write that down. Hang on, let me put that in my phone. Let me set an alarm, a reminder, because that's important. I don't want to miss that. The Jews often had overlooked what God had done on their behalf in victory in battle, how He had provided manna and water and all kinds of sustenance. And yet, the next time they got hungry, the next month, it's as if they forgot all these things all over again. What a powerful way Passover was to repeatedly to reenact and to remember that God had brought these plagues, that God had broken down a powerful Pharaoh, that God had released His people, that God met their needs. God had established that, and God's people were to acknowledge that. And it would take God to change that. And you can only imagine when the disciples were meeting with Jesus, they had prepared all the elements for Passover, was there, and now the Lord said, I'm changing the significance of this. Only God can do that. This do in remembrance of me. We don't, as a church, reenact Passover. We don't necessarily say we're going to set up a Seder and we're going to go through these things. I personally feel like the Lord made it very clear that observation of Passover is replaced with. Now, does it mean that we should not find value in remembering and studying and memorizing what God did for His people of old? No, that's not what I'm saying. But the Lord did not command us, the church, observe the Passover. He said, this do in remembrance of me. And then forgetting what was at the heart of communion had cost the Corinthians. That's what had led to their divisiveness. Whenever people are promoting themselves or their own little party and creating these schisms in the church, it is obvious that their eyes are off the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever a church struggles with disunity is because our eyes are off the Lord Jesus Christ. And they went through the motions like everybody else, but they were actually guilty. They were in danger of judgment, and they were to examine themselves. The antidote to forgetting, he says in verse 28 of our text, but let a person examine himself then, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. What is this self-examination? It's not some transcendental exercise where we sit in a lotus position and roll our eyes up on our head and chant until we all see something and get the significance and reach nirvana. No. But by studying God's word and remembering and being in agreement with God about our sin and about the Savior and being thankful to Him. The word Eucharist actually had that idea of a giving thanks. And there should be a thankful element in all communion. What happens when we forget or depreciate, at least, the significance of the forgiveness of our sins, that they were born by the Almighty? Well, then communion will be, as I said, perfunctory, and our Christian walk will be one where we walk lightly and not seriously for Christ. Notice, secondly, point B, the commitment to remembering. the commitment, there's a danger of forgetting, there's a commitment, and this is part of our commitment to remember. The night before Jesus' death, he told of Judas's betrayal. He told of Simon Peter's denial. He told of the significance of the supper in Matthew 26. Again, only God had the authority to transform the significance of all this. And the apostles and the churches gathered on the first day of the week to break bread. This was obviously very important to that early church. What exactly are we to remember? We remember that God came as man, that man might be right with God. We remember that he experienced our sorrow and he suffered for our sin and he died in our place. And the bread of God was broken for rebels like us. We remember. We remember the penalty that he paid and the great grace that Brother Isaac just sang beautifully about becomes precious to us. Communion is something that God ordained that helps us keep the focus where it should be and help align our hearts so that what is dear and precious to God becomes precious to us. Sunday, for a good majority of Americans, becomes about sleeping in or about football or about some other recreational pursuit. Every Sunday is a reminder Jesus Christ has risen from the tomb. And communion is a reminder Jesus died in my place and is coming again. How are we to relive Christ's sacrifice? We do more than just eat the bread and put our head back and drink the cup. We meditate on the Lord. We worship. We adore. Every song, the reading of the scripture, everything in a service is to be purposeful, is to engage us, is to make it clear that Christ is all in all. So by reading the scriptures together, by praying together, by singing these scriptures together, we collectively participate and get our focus back where it should be. And there is great value in meeting together, worshiping together, partaking of communion together. We do everything purposefully. It is about adoring Him. We have a little tradition in our family that when somebody has a birthday, when we go out to dinner or whatever we do, that we pause and try to remember. Let's talk about, let's rehearse some of the things we remember about Savannah. I think she was had the most recent birthday in our family. Do you remember the time when she? Yes, yeah, yeah. And do we ever tell brand new stories? Probably not. But it's a day that is about you. Okay, we try to. It's a way that we honor. And sometimes those things are flattering, and sometimes I'm sure they're embarrassing. But when we come to communion, it is not about us. It is all about exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. It is our way of saying, I remember, Lord, when you died in my place. And the focus of the ordinance is not an Old Testament miraculous deliverance. It is the cross of Christ. In Matthew 26:26, the Lord could say, this is my blood of the covenant. This represents the total outpouring of himself. Every redeemed saint in this room is exhibit A of the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And sharing in communion reminds us that we are joint heirs with Jesus, that we are co-participants in this great redemption. Turn over to chapter 10. Maybe just even across the page or back a page, to verses 16 and 17. 10:16. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of one bread. The bread and the juice represent a reality. They are the shadow. The death of Christ was the substance. They help me not to get away from, to be reminded of the wonderful reality of eternal life through Him. Then you have in that second point, this act has perpetual significance. Perpetual significance. Somebody does something nice for you, and you might think in terms of what would be proper? A thank you card, take them a meal, do something nice for them. We live for Him who died for us. And this is perpetual. The Apostle Paul says that our participation in this symbolism was to be the ongoing practice of the church. In verses 25 and 26, he says, "This do as often. He reminds the church, this is to be one of the things that you are marked by, the things that you are engaged in, and don't ever lose the significance of that. It's hard for us to believe that in centuries past, true believers were sometimes hunted down and killed, put through excruciating death. What was their guilt? What was their crime? Because they would not say that this bread and this juice was the literal body and blood of Jesus Christ. They said, no, this is symbolic. This reminds us. And there were churches that would say, for that you are guilty of death. But we have in these verses, the Lord says, by this you do remember, you do recount, live out. And I would just say, these elements don't change, but we do. We should. We should be sharpened by the Scripture. The continual sanctifying of the work of the Holy Spirit should see a progress in us as we go forward. So the elements and this communion helps us to look back on this memorial. We look now on this powerful symbol. Number two, look now on this powerful symbol. And then three, we look forward to Christ's glorious rule. Look at verse 26 with me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, let's say it out loud, until He comes. Each time we meet, each time we participate in the Lord's Supper, we are participating, we are identifying with Him. Around election time, if a president is doing well, it's amazing how all the people in his party want to say, oh, I'm that too. He represents me. I'm on the coattails of his success. If he is not the most popular president, it's amazing how people try to distance themselves and get very vague in their answers. I'm almost amused by that. But every time we participate in communion, we say, I'm with Him. I am in Him. He is with me. He bought me. I am not my own. I am bought with a price. I am His. Are you going to do this? You're going to take this that job? Are you going to do this with your weekend? I'm going to see, and I'm not my own. I'm going to think before I consider that move, that job, that position, whatever else, I'm going to consider Christ. What would advance the testimony of Jesus Christ the most? And that should stand out. People that would look at you and think, wow, they're very different. Now, they may not be here and know when you partake of communion, but the changed life and the identification and the participation in Him, of which this is only a symbol and a reminder and an aid, that goes on. By our obedience, we show that we are not our own. The Lord Jesus Christ made it very clear that He came, Luke says, to the Father and said, Lord, if it be your will, take this cup from me. And then He actually drained that cup. He drank the contents of the wrath of God for every blood-washed sinner, every Christian. And when we say we do this until He comes, we're not just repeating some prescription or being just traditional. When we say we do this until He comes, we are saying He is coming again. I am convinced. Communion reminds me. I am convinced that God is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. God will fulfill all His holy word. I don't see nations aligning in this confederation of ten. I don't see an Antichrist yet. I don't see hailstones the size of Volkswagens falling. Okay, but God says these things will take place. I don't hear a Trump heard around the world. I don't see graves being opened. I don't see Christ returning in the clouds, but the Bible tells me that will happen. The Bible tells me Christ will then return to earth. Not only will He come for His church, He will come with His church and will reign and rule. And we can say Jesus will reign where'er the sun does its successive journeys run. Each communion is a statement of faith that He reigns, that He will reign on earth, and that the Christian can say, I will reign with Him. And that too is grace. That is more than I deserved. Communion is not just giving a nod in the direction of gospel facts. It's not just saying, sure, yeah, I believe that too. Unfortunately, what happens all too often in our society is people that they know certain facts about the gospel and give intellectual assent. Yeah, I guess that would be, yeah, I was raised to believe that, sure, whatever. But is there a change? Does it make a difference in their life? Does it drive them? Does it form their affections and their allegiances? All too often we see them still living for themselves, living for Jesus, a life that is true. I hope that before we partake of the bread and of this, the contents of this cup, that we would take just a moment with heads bowed and eyes closed to pour out our hearts in thanks, to realize that Jesus purchased us at infinite cost. He died in my place. This is a sacrifice once for all. In just a moment, we'll sing a song. I'll ask the serving elders if they would. They'll come and prepare the table. But at this moment, just with heads bowed and eyes closed, just allow the Lord to expose anything in your own heart. You know, one of the things that communion does is it also reminds me of my ongoing need for forgiveness. Communion, all too often I think, boy, was it just 2 months ago that I was praying and asking the Lord to forgive sin, this sin again in my life? And I'm reminded this is an ongoing work. He saved me by His power once for all. But He's also saving me from the power of sin. One day from even the presence of sin. But the penalty of sin has already been dealt with once for all. Rejoice with me. Ask the Lord to expose any unconfessed sin. bring that before the Lord in prayer and rejoice that this is done in Christ.